So if you have your Bibles with you today, if you'll open them to Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to review what we went through last week. As for those who are visiting with us this morning, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and we'll continue on that path. Even through Resurrection Sunday, we will stay in Hebrews next week. We believe that God's Word and what we're in and what we're studying is so important. And while we celebrate the resurrection and the time every year we celebrate that Jesus has risen from the dead, we know, and going through Hebrews in particular, we know that every day is a day of celebration.
Amen.
Of the resurrection. So it's not one day that man has set aside. And so therefore, as we continue to grow together, we're going to stay right on course to what God has laid before us to learn and to grow together, because I believe that somebody might be here next Sunday that has heard the same message over and over and ever over on the Resurrection Sunday morning, but next week they might hear something a little different. And that's what my heart is for, that they would come and they would hear something that would touch their hearts if they're not believers, and that they would be saved.
Amen.
Recapping last week, we looked at the role of the high priest, and that he is appointed for service to man pertaining to the things of God. His heart must be able to have compassion on others, because he himself also as a man has struggled himself. We compare this to the pastors today, and we read a warning for shepherds or for pastors from Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 1 through 6 last week. And that warning was basically saying that shepherds need to feed the flock. You need to tend to the people that God has brought and not be so concerned about business, or not concerned about growth, or not concerned about buildings. Be concerned about people, because the people are the church. You are the church.
That's right.
And that's our role as a pastor for me and for others, is to be here for you. We saw that Jesus' appointment as our high priest by God was through sonship. And we saw two references where God spoke audibly to the people. This is my son, of whom I am well pleased. We saw that a high priest isn't self-appointed or self-glorified. Jesus never brought glory upon himself, but always glorified the Father in all that he did. We talked about, with Jesus as our high priest, we have no need for a mediator on this earth. But Jesus himself is our mediator, and he's interceding for us as we speak at the right hand of the Father. We talked about the temptation that Jesus faced specifically in the garden with the intensity of his prayer. He became the author of our eternal salvation. And once again, we touched on milk versus solid food, and how we need to continue to exercise our minds, our heart, and our faith to meditate on God's Word, to grow up as mature believers. And this week, we're going to begin chapter 6. And the title this week is, The Foundation is Laid, Build Your Temple. The foundation is laid, build your temple. Let's begin reading in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Father, we ask that you will just give us your Spirit again, which you've already done, Lord, and pray that you would bless the Word this morning with your Spirit, and just open our ears to hear what you have for us today. We thank you. We glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, we as believers know what the foundation of Scripture is, that Jesus is all that we need. The simplicity of the gospel is sufficient for our salvation. And earlier we read in Hebrews 3:14 where it said, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." So are we seeing a discrepancy here in the first part of verse 1 in chapter 6, which is leaving the discussion of the elementary principles? And then earlier it says, "Hold to the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end." I don't believe so. I believe that basically what we're looking at here is no discrepancy, but encouragement. And the encouragement is to move on in your maturity. As we covered last week, growing up, and this week, building your temple on the laid foundation, the continued thought process here is that we're continued to grow. We should always be growing in Christ. We never will arrive until we see Him face to face. So every day of our lives that we're right here in this earth, we should be growing. We should be submitting ourselves. We should be seeking Him. We should be asking Him to be the author and finisher of our faith for that moment, for this day, as we've read in Hebrews earlier on. Today is the day. For today, if you believe, not falling again into evil, into rebellion. So basically, we're saying here, it doesn't mean that we're to lay aside the foundation of our faith and to begin another. As we see continued in verse 1, it says, "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Our foundation is set. It's firm, and it doesn't waver. Jesus Himself is our foundation. In Luke chapter 6, verse 48, it says, "He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." In 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." And again, in 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone whose name is the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So if you're in Christ, we're to be departing from iniquity. But He is our foundation. It's secure, and we need to be building on it. We know that the Scripture tells us we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So with Jesus being the foundation, you're the temple, you need to be going upright. You need to be built on that foundation. In Christ, our lives are meant to be that temple. It's not about us. It's all about Him. Now, in natural terms, a temple was something to behold. It was a beautiful structure. It was built with wood and stone and adorned with gold and silver and precious stones. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verses 3 gives us a clear picture of what all the temple, or how it was built and what went into it and the look and the feel of it. Now today, when you see buildings going up, engineers work hard to make sure that the ground is secure. They check it all out to make sure what that underlying stone is. Is it a sandstone? Is it hard? Is it compact? Is it going to hold the foundation without cracking? And they look at that very closely. They want to make sure that the weight of the building that's placed upon it won't settle. We bought an older house, the house that we live in. We bought it to fix it up 14 years ago, and we've been fixing it up ever since. You never, ever get done. If you're a homeowner, you know what I mean. You always have something else to do. And about time you think you get the one thing you wanted to get done, something else takes precedence, and you have to go over here and do that. But at our house, the way the yard was set, they had built these little boxes, flower boxes out front. And the yard comes down to the front. Well, everything in the flower boxes and everything around the front settled in toward the foundation. And then when water would come, it would rush up against, run down, and come right into the basement. So we had a lot of work to do to keep the water out, but the foundation itself wasn't cracked. The foundation itself was solid. And that's the thing that we have to look at today. Knowing that our foundation is solid, when we're in Him, when we're in the Word, when we're growing spiritually, the temple will also be solid upon that, and it will not crack either. Jesus Himself will not crack, and He won't settle for anything less than for us to continue to grow. He's the only true foundation that we have, and we are growing and building on that foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 16 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold or silver or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So, the writer here in Hebrews is pointing out, as we've seen in the previous chapter, that it's time to grow up. It's time for us to be putting our focus completely and totally on Jesus, and not just for the big things, but for the little things. We need to be looking to Him for everything in our life. Our foundation is set, and it's a great and wonderful, but we need to be seeing walls going up. We need to be seeing structures going up, not just a slab. You know, once a slab's been poured, it doesn't sit there forever. If it does, and whatever happens, for whatever reason, that the blueprints weren't right or whatever, they'll tear that out and put something else in. So when you build the foundation or the foundation is poured, it's time to build up. It's time to put the walls up. Our foundation is set. The structure has to go up to the point of completion and perfection. But only in Christ will it be complete, and only in Him will it be perfect. In verses 1 and 2, the writer here gives us 6 foundational truths. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. All of these 6 points are the basic foundations of our Christian faith. We should all know these. We should all be taught these as babes, as Christians, new believers. And it's good to go over them, and we do go over them. When we come into the Word and we're studying them, we go over them continually. Because without repentance, there's no salvation. Without faith, you can't walk with God. We need to understand the doctrine of baptisms, first being baptized into repentance, and then being baptized into the Holy Spirit. And then being of laying on of hands for healing and for direction and growth. Laying on hands also to receive the gifts, because the Father would have us to receive the gifts that He has for us. The only way that those gifts can come to us is when we're open and ready to receive them, because they're not ours, they're His. All the gifts of the Spirit come directly from Him, operated by Him. He pours them into us as He sees fit. So that's why we don't teach or preach on one gift being above another, or focus on one gift, because all gifts are from God. And each one of us walking in the calling that He has for us will receive the gift that He has for us when we need it at the appropriate time. Are all prophets, are all teachers, are all pastors, are all evangelists? No. But all have a call, and all operate in whatever God places upon them when they're obedient and when they're growing. It's important that we understand we can't be stagnant. We can't just be sitting on that foundation looking around with all the materials laying there and nothing happening. Now all of these truths that we just went over, we must adhere to. And they, again, they should be taught to new believers. But we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit as we grow. We need to be moving beyond those foundational truths, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Because I believe that He will speak to you as clearly as He will speak to me or anyone else. Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is in you. When you're open to receiving what He has, and when you're following the path that He's laid before you, you will hear from Him, and you will know. But why? Because Jesus said, "My sheep will hear My voice. They will know My voice." So we need to be growing in that. He is our teacher, and He will continue to teach us through the Word. Stay in the Word. Can't focus enough about staying in God's Word. Now last Wednesday, when we had our Wednesday Bible study, Kevin was teaching on 1 John. We're continuing that teaching on our Wednesday Bible studies there. And as we read, and he covered this in 1 John 2:20, it says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." The King James Version of that says, "You have an unction." I like that word. You have an unction from the Holy Spirit. and you know all things. And the Greek word here translated is not that you know in the sense of knowing everything, but you are discerning, you're aware, you're understanding as the Holy Spirit teaches you. And He gives a check in your spirit when things don't quite seem right. We talked about this last week. If something just doesn't seem right and you're in a teaching or you're hearing something on the radio or wherever it might be, and you say, something just don't sound right about that. And you go to the Word and you find that was the Holy Spirit that was pointing you to the truth so that you're able to stand firm and you're not actually wavering by the doctrines that might be out there on the television, the radio, or wherever it might be in other churches. You just need to be in the Word. And the more you're in the Word, the more discernment you're going to have, the more knowing you will have. John 16, 12 through 14 says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life every day. So let's clear out our ears, open our hearts, start to grow, move in the Word, move in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we're doing that, our hearing gets better. Now, I don't know about you, but the older you get, things don't work like they used to. And my hearing is not real good. Matter of fact, I'm in line to get a hearing aid in my right ear now. All kinds of certain sounds I don't hear. We have a dryer right now that seems it's got a little sensor something going on. And every time you put it on for 10 minutes, it goes off ding, ding, ding. I don't hear it. So if I put the clothes in there, someone will say, hey, the dryer just dinged. I have to go in there and take care of that. The microwave has that little thing on it. If I'm in the other room, I don't hear it. And the most embarrassing one I had is I got this watch that, number one, I didn't know how to operate. Because if you ever get one of those little digital watches, you got timers and everything on them, and you got all these buttons. Well, I could never get to turn the alarm off. It was on. So me and the boys, and we were at a movie theater, I guess, a couple of years ago. And we're sitting there, and we're watching the movie and everything, and I had my watch on, and all of a sudden, Chrisling, he's sitting next to me, he says, Dad, your watch is going off. Of course, it's in my right ear, so I couldn't even hear him. And I said, what? And he said, your watch is going off. And I said, no, it's not. He said, yeah, it's going off. So I actually had to take it off and give it to him so he could, number one, figure out how to turn it off because he's the digital guy. But I never heard it. And these are the kind of things that happened. And in spiritual terms, when we're not close to the Lord, our hearing is like that. We're not hearing the soft, still voice of the Holy Spirit. We're not paying attention, and suddenly we hear some of the loud noises, and we want to hear all that, because if it's a loud boom, you definitely want to be able to hear that, because that means something isn't good. It's a loud boom. But the little things, we need to be aware and listening and paying attention, and that's where our hearing has to be keen. But when we saw that earlier, it said, you know, you're not able to hear it. Your ears are dull of hearing. But Jesus, He cleans our ears out. Just like when we were babies and we had that little wax remover thing. He clears our ears out, but we just need to be listening and focused upon Him. So verses 1 through 3 continues to exhort us to grow up. And now we come to verses 4 through 6. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. I honestly tell you, I wasn't looking forward to teaching on this passage because it's an easy one for people to stumble over, and many have. Even for a lot of believers, it's hard to grasp the actual thought of what He's saying here. Some have used this passage to plant fear into the ears of the listeners, to say, if you don't do right, you're going to lose everything and go straight to hell. And it brings legalism and control into it. And others have taught this passage as a hypothetical scenario, meaning that it couldn't really happen, that the writer is just making a bold comparison of what would happen if it were actually possible. So let's go to the full counsel of God. What does the Word tell us regarding our salvation? Let's start with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. It says, in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Romans 8:35 through 39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We were counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we were more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now I believe these passages are clear. There's no external power that can take away what's promised to us. You remain in Christ Jesus. Nothing that comes against you that the enemy has can take that from us. As believers, we're sealed as children of God. With that being said, we do have to look at this passage in Hebrews and understand the context of what the writer is saying and to whom he's speaking to. And first of all, there's no indication that he's speaking hypothetically. There's nothing in that passage of Hebrews that we just read that speaks of hypothetical situation. And we see in verse 9, when we get to it, it says, "But beloved, be confident of better things concerning you." Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. So what he's saying is that this is something that we have to look at. This is something that's written here. He's confident in speaking to the Hebrews there. And these were Hebrews, at that point, they were Jewish Christians. Now remember, everything that we've studied up to this point, the believers there that he was speaking to had kind of gotten stagnant. They were not moving forward. They were beginning to fall back a little on tradition, on religion, back into the law, back into their culture, because they're surrounded with the temple around them. They're surrounded with the Jews. They're surrounded with those who are telling them, okay, if you decide that Jesus is your answer, you still have to do these things. You still have to do this. This is your heritage. This is your culture. This is where you came from. And this is what the Jews were battling, and sort of in the same sense that we are today. We have family in some of our cases, or friends in some cases, that say, oh, that's, you can believe what you want to, but you can still come out and have fun. You can still come and do these things. Or you still have to do these things in church, and you still, if you don't do these things, and practicing becomes about works again. And that's not what we should be thinking about. We should be focused on Jesus Himself. Now, they weren't growing in their faith. The Hebrews weren't. And the warning for them is to move forward or to risk falling away. Now, notice our text doesn't read being taken from our faith, but by our own choices and decisions, we fall away. Also notice that the writer here states that the one he's referring to having become partakers of the Holy Spirit. So he wouldn't be able to say, if you've been partakers of the Holy Spirit and received Christianity, received Jesus, that there's a chance to fall away, unless there was a chance to fall away. So what he's speaking to is he's saying that those heard, they believed. Now whether it be superficial or not, because a lot of times today the way people respond to this passage is, well, those who become Christians or pretend to become, they weren't really saved at all. They never really understood anything at all. But what he says here is having become partakers of the Holy Spirit. So they have had some experience, whether superficial, whether it was real or not real at that moment, I can't answer, because I don't believe any man can know the heart of another man. Only God Himself knows that. But I do believe that this particular passage fits really closely with the parable that Jesus gave regarding the seed and the sower. In Mark 4:14-20, Jesus explains the sower and the seed parable to His disciples. And He said, "The sower sows the word." This is verse 14 in Mark chapter 4. "And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, "These likewise are the ones who sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a short time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." Verse 18, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20 says, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100." Jesus also said in John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Now the Greek word that was used in that passage for abide is meno, M-E-N-O, meno. It's a primary verb, and what it means is to stay in a given place, a state, a relation, or expectancy, to continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, or tarry. John 15:6 tells us, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." And again, the same Greek word is used there, meno, that if they do not stand, if they do not stay in this place, if they do not continue, if they do not dwell or endure or remain or stand or tarry, and they are cast into the fire. So we have to conclude here that we as believers have a choice. We have a choice to abide or not to abide, to remain or not to remain. Colossians 1:23 says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." This is why the writer has issued the warning. He's saying to the Hebrews, continue in the faith, abide in Jesus, walk in Him, stay with who you first believed, and then come and let us grow together. And that's the theme of what we're seeing in this book. It's staying in Jesus and let's grow together. Staying in the Word, let's grow together. Don't remain as babes, but let us get the Word together. Build upon the foundation that has been laid for us. The danger for the Hebrews, as for us today, is complacency. It's keeping one foot with the Lord and one foot in the world. This can harden your heart. If you don't come to the place to where you're sold out for Jesus, where you're saying it's all about Him and mean it, and when you come to that place where you're day by day giving up more of yourself, because He can't take it from you until you lay it down. The Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit. He's a Holy Spirit, and He is a gentleman, and He doesn't force Himself upon you. He brings conviction for repentance. He brings conviction to grow. He brings more and more to you, giving you more and more opportunity. But we have to take that foot out of the world and stand firm on the foundation with both feet, not one off, not one on. It will harden our hearts. And when that starts to happen, and you've got one foot in and one foot out, all of a sudden, the hearing gets dull. You're not hearing as well. And when the hearing gets dull, you miss what the Holy Spirit's saying. And then, we don't want to read. We don't want to study. We don't want to stay in the Word. "Well, I've got other things so important. I've got to do this. I've got to do that." And the next thing you know, it's more in the world. And that one foot is just barely on that edge. We have to be careful. As we read in verse 11 of chapter 5, it says it can harden our hearts. It says you can become dull of hearing. Now, after reading this, I don't want there to be anyone who has any doubts or fears in their heart. If they've fallen into a sin, if they've struggled in something after their salvation, if you have things in your life that you're still working on, you haven't lost your salvation. It's not about that. It's not about losing it. It's about staying in Christ so that you don't turn your back upon the foundation of which He's already laid. You have to stay upon. You have to stay focused. You have to remain so that you can hear that conviction as it comes. And believe me, there are people in the room, and I know because I'm one of them. I have struggles in my life. We all do. And you hear that conviction from the Holy Spirit. We have a choice. Are we going to listen to the conviction, or are we going to cross over and go forward with what we want to do? What the world is doing? That's a choice that we have to make every single day. And as we've read in Hebrews, today, if we will come today, you've not lost anything until you turn back and commit the unpardonable sin. And that's when you take your last breath and deny Jesus Christ. So I'm telling you this morning, don't walk in guilt. Walk in freedom.
Amen.
But listen to the Holy Spirit regarding conviction. Jesus speaking to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. He says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly. Remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." This is Jesus speaking to the church in Ephesus. Who is our first love? He is our first love. When we receive Him and understand that the Holy Spirit has brought us to that point to make that choice, "I will follow you, Jesus," He becomes our first love. We need to make sure we remain in that. The warnings are here. They're all through the Word. We have to remember that we have to follow what the Word says and understand it and believe it. There's still hope. You can grow from where you are. You can grow more and more in a relationship with Jesus Christ from this day forward, from this moment. Yesterday's over. It's gone. It's history. We can't walk in the past. And we've talked about this many times. We can't walk in the future either. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Jesus said, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has plenty of things that will take care and worry about itself." We need to stay focused on today, on Him today, because He is our today. He's going to be our eternity. We're not bound by, or He's not bound by time. Only us are bound by time. He is right there, constantly working and moving on our behalf. We need to be listening. We need to be focused. And we need to grow in Him. Understand this, that the longer you play near quicksand, the better chance you'll have to fall into it. Because at some point, you're going to forget where that little puddle was. And you're going to be running around, and all of a sudden, whoop, and there you are. Don't play with the quicksand around it. Don't toy with sin. If Satan gets a foothold, if that door's open, he will do all he can to force that door and pry it open. Don't give him that opportunity. Stand firm. And don't ignore the Holy Spirit to point out the conviction that He has for you. We don't want to be dull of hearing. We don't want to miss that conviction, as verse 7 and 8 warns us, where it says, "For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs, useful for those to whom it's cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned." Now, I believe that the last few verses that we looked at here speaking to two groups. The first group are the ones who come and are hungry for the Word. But they don't just come to the table and eat and then sit back and enjoy the meal, but they share it with others. That's really how we grow. The one thing that God wants us to understand is that when we're growing in Him, we should be growing with each other.
Amen.
And so, as we are feasting upon the Word, and it's coming into us, we need to be prepared for it to go out of us to those around us, whether it be a fellow believer or brother and sister in the Lord who needs encouragement, or whether it's that opportunity to bring light to someone who doesn't know Jesus at all. But we need to be able to be available, not just sitting back, not comfortable, not full, but not sharing. They come to be the hearers of the Word, and then they go out to be the doers of the Word, as James 1:21 through 22 tells us. It says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with the meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." These are the ones who are seeking the call of God on their lives. These are the ones who are hungry for the Holy Spirit to teach them and to grow and obedience. And there's evidence of good fruit. In essence, they are building their temple on the foundation. Because what's happening is you're starting to see the walls go up. Now, I'm not talking about divisive walls. Again, it could be divisive walls. When you're building the temple on the foundation, it's going to be dividing against those who don't want that. They're going to want to get away from you. They're not going to want to necessarily be around you. But for others who have that same desire, they're going to be drawn to you. And they're going to be helping you and encouraging you as you're helping them and encouraging them to grow their temple, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And each one of us, while we house the same Holy Spirit, our structure will look different because each of us are different. And God is calling us to be who we are in Him as He's guiding us to be, to grow us up, to be who He has and to do what He has for us to do. He is our foundation. Now the second group are the people who come. They come on Sundays usually. They don't usually come on Wednesdays or other nights or other times and things like that. And this is not a condemnation on those who don't come to other nights. It's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a group of people who only come just to get a little bit of word and then they just sit on it. They do nothing with it. They don't even apply it. It just sits there. They're not seeking the plan that God has for their life. They have their own plans. And then they try to force God into them. And I've seen this happen over and over and over. When you're praying, God will reveal His plan for you. And when you're praying, He will show you what that plan is. And He will give you direction and going in that direction. But so many times, we come up with a fleshly idea of what I want to do and how I want to live and how I want to do my life. And God, bless this. This is my list. Now bless it. And that's not the approach that God wants. It's not the approach that we can take. We have to come to Him with saying, God, here's my list. Pour your list into me. And we're willing to do that. He will take that and He will build us upon that and He will grow us up in that. And all of a sudden, everything that we thought we wanted to do and every plan that we had that He wasn't in seems so even ugly to us. It's like, wow, I can't even believe I ever wanted to do that. Because now look what God's doing. He's taking us. He's placing us. He's revealing Himself to us. He's building us. He's growing us. And we're moving forward. But otherwise, the fruit of those who do just sit and they have their own plans, they try to force God to fit into their plans, all they produce are thorns and briars because they're angry. God is not blessing their plan. God is not giving them what they want. And so who do they get mad at? They get mad at God and everybody else around them too. So you have to understand that when you're in that group, you have a choice. To lay all that down at the cross, move in to the group of people and fellowship with the group of people that want to serve God, that want to search His plan out, that want to be in Him. Because when you're of one like mind, as the Bible continues to teach us to be in unity, you can't be in unity with one another if you're not in unity with the Lord. You can't. It will not work. And for those who are coming for their own agenda, it will show up. And there will be division based on that. But both groups that I just mentioned hear the same word. And both groups have the same opportunity to either respond or not to respond to the call of the Lord. Matthew 5:45 says, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Cain and Abel both knew to bring an offering to the Lord. And I'm sure that both of them were instructed on what was acceptable and what wasn't. Why do I say that? Well, because God was speaking to them. God was speaking to them. Remember, after Cain fell and killed his brother, God came to him. Or even before He came to him, He said, Cain, why are you so angry? If you don't do well, do you not know I will bless you? But sin is crouching at your door and you have to master it. He was talking to Cain. So I know they had communication. I know that there was instruction on what was good and what wasn't. But Cain's heart wasn't right. Cain wanted to do what Cain wanted to do. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. And his offering was rejected. Sin overtook him, causing him in anger to kill his brother. This week I'm going to end with verse 9. And we're going to begin next week with verse 9. It says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, the things that accompany salvation. God is confident of each one of us here this morning. And I am too. That we're here to grow. That we're here to search Him out. That we're here to seek His will for our life. Grab a hold of that. Don't let go. Let Him take us where He wants us to go. And throw everything else to the wind. Let it go wherever it goes. Let Him take us where He wants us. Because we all need to be in that group of doers. Doers of the Word. And knowing that Jesus Himself is our foundation, He's also the chief cornerstone. He started the foundation. He laid the foundation. He started the building. Because it's all Him. He's the chief cornerstone. Let's grow in Him. Let's build upon Him. And the foundation is laid. Build your temple. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is such a blessed Word and that we can come and we can just continue to grow in it. And Lord, I just ask that this morning that our hearts would all be turned toward You. And if there's anything this morning that any of us are struggling with and carrying around, the baggage that we have that we just can't seem to let go of, Father, I pray that this morning that we'd be listening to the Holy Spirit and that we would come to that complete place to cast that thing that may be hanging on to us, maybe keeps us in bondage, maybe holding on to us for whatever purpose. Lord, let us lay that down and say, no. No, I am in Jesus. I am in Christ. I choose Jesus this morning. I choose life this morning. And I choose to lay all those other things down and not let them keep me in bondage. Father, we love You this morning. And I just ask that You would just minister to each one of us and let us stay in the Word this week, continue to grow individually with You as we come together. We can worship together and corporately be united because of You. You're our foundation. You're also our body. You link us. You're the head of our body. You link us all together and You direct as we choose to go in You. Thank You, Lord. We love You. We praise You. We glorify Your name and we thank You for all that You are and all that You're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.